We now cross to London to speak to Audrey Tinlin from BBC World. Good morning, Audrey.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Good. And how is it in London this morning?
It's okay. It's kind of bright and sunny. We've been having the weirdest weather, lots and lots of flooding going on around the UK, but it's eased off in the last week or so.
Oh, very pleased to hear it. And the number of countries who are getting more of their people vaccinated against COVID-19 is increasing, but we see there's a push towards these compulsory COVID vaccine passports, and they're either for travel or to allow people into certain events, but not everyone's in favour?
Absolutely not. No, we've seen quite a lot of pushback in various countries against these. I mean, these are large numbers of people who go out on the street, for example, in France over the weekend, but small in the great scheme of things. If you look at the number of people in the countries who are getting vaccinated in Europe, it is going up and up. So the passports are usually on an app or a paper version. In France this week, it's quite interesting because they are taking what's really the final step towards making this mandatory. The Constitutional Council there, which is their highest body, which would rubber stamp this, is likely to give the full go-ahead. The President Emmanuel Macron wants that health pass to be needed for many, many more things. At the moment in France, you need it to get into a cinema or, you know, other cultural places, and he wants it to be extended more widely, so you'd have to show it to get into restaurants, bars, and for long-distance travel within France itself. So it's moving up the agenda there.
So showing your papers, as it were.
Exactly. You definitely have to make sure you have the right stuff to show.
So are there protests in France about this? Are people rallying against it?
There have been people on the streets. I mean, for the last three weekends, you've seen people coming out on the streets in Paris and in other major cities because they don't want to have to be mandated to show these passes. It doesn't mean you have to have a vaccine. There is some vaccine hesitancy in France, but it does mean if you haven't had the vaccine, you have to be able to show a negative test result. But it will simply be that it's mandatory to show them if you want to get into certain places, and that isn't something that France has been used to at all.
So there's somebody on the door checking as you go in.
Yep, that's what happens in these places. I mean, we've had these trial events here in the UK. Of course, we've seen these over the last few weeks, not least the Euro football events, you know, and they've been taking place all over the place. And you see people having their pass checked. So on the trial events, we have this National Health Service app, and it shows your vaccine or otherwise COVID status, and you can show it to get into events now. That's starting to happen more and more, even here in the UK, where it's not mandated at the moment, but it's starting to happen.
And what about in other countries? Are there changes occurring?
Yep, also in other places across Europe. Italy, a vaccine pass becomes mandatory for indoor public venues this week. And also Italian doctors and health workers have to get vaccinated or they face being banned from working directly with patients. Now, a group of around 300 Italian health workers are going to court to try to get that overturned. In another part of the world, in the Middle East, for example, Saudi Arabia, just in the last day or so, vaccines have become mandatory if you want to get into many public and private spaces. So they're not saying you have to have a vaccine. What they're saying is if you want to get into these places, you have to show you've been vaccinated. So more and more people there will have to become vaccinated.
Gee, what a world we live in. And now Lebanon, the real difficulties there. It marks a year this week since that really deadly explosion at Beirut's port. More than 200 people died and the country has been suffering ever since. So what are the main problems that face Lebanon 1 year on from that explosion?
Yeah, there are almost too many to mention, aren't they? We've all been watching over the last year and hoping that things would get better, but really it's still in somewhat of a downward spiral. I mean, the biggest thing they're facing is a financial crisis. The World Bank has categorised it as one of the world's worst financial crises since the 1800s. They've got raging inflation, people can't afford to buy food and fuel, and of course a huge housing shortage because many homes in Beirut were devastated by that huge blast. And on August the 4th, later this week, there's likely to be some demonstrations by families who, lost their loved ones in that blast. 204 deaths, 7,500 injuries, and nobody has been brought to book for it. Nobody has been put on trial. And this is what the people of Lebanon are complaining about. Amongst all their problems, the worst is that they see they don't have a functioning government and they don't see people being brought to account.
So the situation isn't going to get any better in the, in the near future.
Unfortunately not. I mean, in terms of money going to these people who desperately need it, France, who's the former colonial power, it's organising a donors conference this week to raise more money for reconstruction and just for, people getting by every day. So that is likely to be effective because last year they held a similar donors conference where they raised $300 million just in the few days after the blast happened. But as I say, money's not the only thing they need. What they need is a functioning government, people keep saying, because immediately after that blast, the government resigned en masse, more or less, or were forced out. And there hasn't been a functioning government since then. And the European Union's even getting to the stage where it's saying that it may have to take sanctions against named individuals who they see as blocking the way or undermining democracy and the rule of law in Lebanon. So that's what people want to see. They want to see the country start to function again.
Gee, and we go to Ethiopia and an impending famine in Tigray, and the UN want access into the area.
Yeah, I'm sorry to be bringing you all the gloomy stories as the week begins, but we're hearing both, dreadful things happening there, but also some action is starting to take place to help these people. There's been a war between government forces and rebel forces in the northern Tigray region, which we've been hearing about. It's been going on since last November. And there are about 6 million people who are trapped in that area, though many of them have been trying to leave or have also fled their homes. And of those, the US aid agency says about 5 million in desperate need of food. So what's happening this week is that the US aid envoy, Samantha Power, she is in Ethiopia along with a UN envoy, and they are pushing for more food aid to go in. And just in the last 24, 48 hours, we have seen trucks started to roll into that region with food aid for the people. So it's starting to get in, but what the US and UN and other powers want to do is make that a more permanent arrangement so that they can get help to those people.
And any good news, Audrey?
What would qualify as good news? Let me think. What we
the
are seeing
out.
In good news, just, yeah, the sun's out. And back to our original story, in terms of vaccinations, if you consider that good news, and many people do, we are seeing here in Europe and also in the US, the numbers of people getting vaccinated are going up and up. And that means that the numbers of people dying from COVID are going down. I mean, here in the UK, cases are still pretty high, but death figures remain reasonably low and what the government considers manageable. So as long as we have access to those vaccines, those of us in parts of the world where we do, that's good news.
That is. And I was reading also that there's talk about a top-up after you've had the two shots later on to have a top-up 6 months later.
Yeah, that's right. It seems that they are definitely going to roll out here in the UK a top-up for probably people over 50. Quite interestingly, I've seen reports that those older people in the population have had the AstraZeneca given to them, and it's likely it might be the Pfizer that they get for a top-up shot because there's some evidence that mixing and matching these vaccines can actually make it more effective. So extremely lucky here that we're likely to see that rollout. And, the majority of adults have now been vaccinated. We're still trying to incentivize all of our young people to come forward. I mean, just at the weekend, the government decided they'd be giving free pizzas and, Uber rides to younger people who want to come and get vaccinated.
Is that
so
right?
So it really, it's all available there if you want to come and get it.
Bribery and corruption. Audrey, thanks very much. Good to talk to you again.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
That's Audrey Tinlin from BBC World in London.